The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
This episode of the Steve Austin Show is sponsored in part by TheraWorks. Hey man, listen up. If you're one of the millions of Americans who suffers from muscle cramps in your legs and feet, relief is finally in sight. TheraWorks Relief is a topical foam that's clinically proven to relieve muscle cramps fast and with daily use. TheraWorks Relief can even prevent muscle cramps before they start. Finally, you'll be able to get a good night's sleep and do all those activities you love and not worry about muscle cramps. TheraWorks Relief is a life-changing product, and best of all, you don't even need a prescription. It only takes minutes to apply, it absorbs quickly, and it really works. It's time you made it yours as well. Get TheraWorks Relief today at select CVS, Rite Aids, and Walgreens pharmacies, or at TheraWorksRelief.com. That's TheraWorksRelief.com.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
From Hollywood, California, by way of the Broken Skull Ranch, this is the Steve Austin Show.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now, here's Steve Austin.
All right, everybody, welcome to Steve Austin Show. I am coming to you from the mean streets of Los Angeles, California today. Sitting here at 317 Gimmick Street, my black Labrador retriever, Callie, who is 1.5 years old, is laying right beside me. She's on a security patrol slash siesta, and she's snoring. So if you're here, don't pay any attention to her. Hey, man, I got a damn good show for you today. I'm talking to my buddy, Court Bauer, about the MLW event that happens tonight, if you listen to the podcast, but we're talking about pro wrestling across the board. But we're going to talk about this illustrious event, Battle Riot, that's going to go down in Queens, New York City tonight. So go check that out or get on MLW.com to see if they have any tickets left. But this is just a podcast talking about the business of pro wrestling, the indie scene, some of the guys that are on this card, some hellacious workers, and some of my old sidekicks, Colonel Rob Parker down there. Bruce Pritchard's helping him down there. Kevin Sullivan. So we're shooting the breeze. We're catching up, and we're talking about pro wrestling, and that's the bottom line. But anyway, hell, God dang it, started thundering over here in Marina Del Rey the other day. Clouds were in the sky. I thought it started lightning and shit. I thought it was going to come raining like a bastard, and it ain't rained a damn drop. The sun came back out, and the heat wave is still on. There's been hotter than blazes out here in Southern California, and when I say that, it's not very hot compared to other places, but out here in SoCal, it'll sure turn you into a weather sissy because it's normally about 65 degrees damn near year-round. So I'm glad I got air conditioning at 316 Gimmick Street because I got that sumbitch set on 71. And every time my wife goes by that thermostat and turns it on 73, I turn it back down. With all the heat, it's been helping me sweat and get my cardio on. Man, I tell you what, going back and forth to Nevada over the past few weeks slash months, man, I go out there and ride my four-wheelers, my buggies, and all that other bullshit. And when I come back to the house, the first thing I do is break out all of my ingredients, and I make all these margaritas by hand, and I make them one by one, and I'll drink two or three of those damn things, and they're doubles or triples. So, man, after doing that for a couple of damn weeks slash months, it was time to put an end to that. My stunt double, Paul Lazenby, came down from Vancouver, B.C. the other day. He was doing some business over here in Los Angeles. I think he was watching the premiere of 350 Days, that wrestling documentary. Anytime Paul's in town, he gives me a shout. And he comes by, and we go out and eat or bullshit or do a podcast. And we went out to eat. We didn't do a podcast because we were talking about other stuff. But we did drink. And Paul don't really drink a whole lot. And I have the potential to drink a lot. And that's what we did. And there was hell to pay the next day. Because I tell you what, I think I registered about a 2.5 on the 5-point scale of hangovers. That's not real severe, but it was just too damn many. And I said, you know what? F this. It has got to stop. So, margarita season is over. I have given the margaritas a Heisman stiff arm. Every maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks, I'll have a batch. Right now, man, I've got my workout going strong. I'm basically following the Mike O'Hearn template as far as body parts a week. It's basically heavy, lower reps, not as few reps as Mike does. I'm probably keeping my stuff anywhere between 6 and 12, but it's good weight, heavy weight, as heavy as I can train by myself in a safe fashion. The consistency is there. I got back in a groove. Man, when you start drinking those margaritas, if you don't work out in the afternoon over there in Nevada or here while this heat wave is going on in my garage, you don't want to work out. So I got rid of all that shit. I got my groove back on. I'm about to get my pump back. The consistency's there. Man, I'm getting up every single morning, 4:15 in the morning, 2 cups of coffee. I'll shoot down to the gym. It's about a half mile from my house and get all the basics in. Come back, take the dogs on a 25-minute walk, and then this evening, as usual, I've taken my Assault air bike over to 316 Gimmick Street and into the air conditioning, so I get on that bastard every night and crank out about 30, 40 minutes of cardio at about a medium pace, and hell, I've already dropped 5 pounds in 3 days, and it's just from cutting out them damn margaritas. So the kid is tuning back up. I was just over in Malibu, California, talking with Mark Bell of Super Training Gym. He's getting ready for a bodybuilding contest in Sacramento, California. I believe it's August 25th. He's getting tuned up for that. He's really losing weight. He got off the ketogenic diet and got onto basically a bodybuilding contest diet with about 340 grams of protein, about 150 carbs, and about 60 grams of fat. His cardio's kicking in. He's training like a beast with O'Hearn and the crew at the gym here in Gold's Gym, the Mecca in Venice. He's out there in Malibu. They rented a house for about a month. I went down and did his podcast, but we had an interesting conversation about nutrition. It was interesting to see Mark go from a ketogenic-based diet all of a sudden to, you know, a carb-based diet. And although that is kind of low carbs, I'm thinking it's because he wanted to get a little glycogen in those muscles. So, you know, when he gets ready to deplete, he'll probably take them back out, get really tight, and then put the carbs back in. But anyway, that's a whole nother story for a whole nother day. But my training is going good. I took off long enough. Sometimes, man, you know, I just, life happens. That four-letter word called life, and those margaritas and everything else. I just kind of get away from the weights. And, man, I've been training since I was in fifth grade. And it's always be a part of my life. But, man, I tell you what, I always walk that line between, you know, wanting to look good and train hard in the gym, but also, you know, enjoy life and have a couple of cocktails. So it was about time to kick the cocktails to the side. And the kid is back in the gym and swinging hard and training heavy with a lot of volume. And I'm digging it. Things are going good on that front. I'm getting ready to take a trip down to Texas to see my relatives down there and do some visiting and to pick up a couple of things down there. I'm looking forward to getting down to Texas. It's going to be hotter than hell down there, but I'll see a lot of my old friends and go out to eat at a couple of restaurants and get my groove on, train over there as well. So I'm looking forward to getting to Texas and coming back here, and I'm looking forward to getting back to Nevada. I'll tell you what, maybe about a year or two, I might start easing towards Nevada. And maybe 80-20 in Nevada, California, maybe 70-30. I don't know, some kind of ratio. I got to make it work, but I'm enjoying being out there. It's been a good move. I miss Texas. I miss the brush country. I miss the hill country as well, but we're going to be in that. So I'm looking forward to seeing my friends. And anyway, that's enough of me rambling. I think you'll enjoy the podcast today. If you like pro wrestling, that's what we're talking about. So I think you're going to dig it. Court Bauer, MLW. They've got the battle riot going on, and it's in Queens, New York City. So if you're local, check it out tonight. If you're not local and you're listening to this podcast, check it out a week from this Friday. So it looks to be a very promising show with a very athletic, eclectic bunch of badass professional wrestlers, some tried and true veterans, and a lot of up-and-comers, and just different styles. So I'm looking forward to be a good show with Court Bauer and, you know, Bruce Pritchard, Kevin Sullivan down there helping him. It should be a hell of an event. Anyway, let's get to my conversation with Court Bauer and talk about that illustrious event. But before we do that, do you think you're brushing your teeth correctly? Turns out most of us are brushing our teeth wrong, not for long enough, and forget to change our brush on time. And that's because most brands focus on selling flashy gimmicks rather than better brushing. But not Quip. Quip is an electric toothbrush that's a fraction of the cost of bulkier brushes. Also, Quip's built-in timer helps you clean for the dentist recommended 2 minutes with guiding pulses that remind you when to switch sides. With Quip subscription plans, they are focused on your health. They deliver new brush heads on a dentist recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5, including free shipping worldwide. And check this out. Quip also comes with a mount that suctions right to your mirror and unsticks to use as a cover for hygienic travel wherever you take your teeth. Finally, everyone loves Quip. Featured by Oprah, Time Magazine, and having the distinction of being the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association. Quip starts at just $25. And for all you Steve Austin Show listeners, if you go to getquip.com/Steve Austin, all one word, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. Again, that's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/Steve Austin. GETQUIP.com/Steve Austin. Do it for your damn teeth, people.
Hey, Steve Austin Show listeners, this is Wade Keller. You might have heard me on the Steve Austin Show in the past talking about WWE pay-per-views. You can hear me every week, twice a week, on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. Just search Wade Keller. I produce two new shows each week. Every Thursday on our flagship show, I'm joined by a co-host from the wrestling journalism field to talk about the hot topics in WWE and elsewhere. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including Cody Rhodes.
This is going to sound odd, but I think it's difficult for any company to fully commit to me because I don't do anything you tell me to do. That's just going to sound ridiculous. Within the confines of what's been discussed, like about a match or overall 2 to 3 matches, but honestly, the only thing I listen to is the time limit because I know and respect the others on the show that you have time for a match, but wrestling is starting to slip back into what it is meant to be. The wrestlers do the wrestling part.
Listen to the full Cody Rhodes interview right now by downloading the show. Search Wade Keller wherever you listen to Pro Wrestling Podcasts.
This is the Steve Austin Show.
All right, I'm sitting here at 317 Gimmick Street. Talk to my main man, Court Bauer, CEO of MLW over there in the tri-state area, New York City specifically. Huge event going on for MLW. It is Battle Riot, a 40-man battle royal, also a stacked card. It happens July 19th. Tonight, if you're listening to the show right here, right now, at the Melrose Ballroom in Queens, New York City. Court Bauer, welcome aboard. How are you, my man?
Good, man. As I'm talking to you, I can see Kevin Sullivan walking by getting ready for a pre-tape. I'm here right now at the TV hotel, which is in wrestling parlance where everyone kind of sets up shop for TV, whether it's WWE or for us. We do our pre-tapes here. We have a few rooms that we set up kind of like these makeshift studios for interviews, which is what WWE used to do in the 80s. And speaking of WWF, Bruce Pritchard just walked by too. He's one of our senior producers. So it's kind of like this big reunion of a lot of eclectic people when you have all these young kids and then you have a guy like Kevin Sullivan walking by. I can only imagine what the other hotel guests are thinking when they see someone in face paint or whatever.
Well, in what capacity is Kevin Sullivan working with you guys?
He actually is going to be in the 40 wrestler battle riot competing, and then he's also doing a little bit of agent work for us. And you figure now more than ever, with wrestling in this weird way, especially independent wrestling with this kind of big boom going on, to have guys like Kevin, Bruce, etc., fine-tuning some of the excellent wrestling going on out there and kind of elevating the guys in different ways. A lot of it's promo and character development stuff. It's really been helpful because mechanically, athletically, the guys are phenomenal. And then to be further enhanced from just a few tweaks in their performance, it's been very helpful. So, and also both great finish men.
Man, a couple of questions just off before, you know, kind of we talk about the card, talk about your roster and how you've mm-hmm. Assembled all these guys and put this crew together. I was talking with Sean Waltman yesterday, X-Pac. He has his own podcast. And we were talking about the resurgence of the independent wrestling scene. And I didn't mm-hmm. know it, but as I was talking to Joey Janela the other day, I know he's done some work for you as well, but he's coming mm-hmm. from that indie scene. How do you explain the resurgence or just kind of the kind of boost in the independent wrestling scene? Why is it bigger and better probably than it's ever been?
I think it's always been the case with pro wrestling experiencing this big surge of excitement, awareness, popularity. It all centers around content and how you access content. And in the 50s it was TV, in the 80s it was cable, and now we have this disruption thing going on where you can just use your phone, fire up some wrestling when you're stuck in traffic or on a train going to work, And it's great. You can, and you're on social media, you see a gift, you see a high spot or something, like, wow, that's amazing. I just saw that Ricochet Will Ospreay thing. Oh my God, that's interesting. You showed someone that's not even into wrestling. Like, wow, that's crazy. And it became viral. I think it's just a byproduct of technology. And there's so much great wrestling out there, and there's so much variety. And within a few clicks, you can be streaming live from Japan or live from Germany. It's pretty wild to see wrestling go that way, but it's very accessible, and you're finding all this great talent coast to coast and beyond.
Hey, man, how's it been working with Bruce Prichard? I know he's a longtime writer and a creative guy for WWE or F way back in the day. He worked with me so much, as I was talking with Joey Janela on backstage skits, vignettes, always putting ideas in my head. And one of the things I like about Bruce is that, you know, he's, you know, try anything, but just go out there and do it. And he's just, to me, he was real important to my success back in those days. So how have the guys found it working with him and you as well, as you guys try to get ready for this big ass show and try to get everybody tuned up?
Well, yeah, Bruce and I have known each other since our WWE days, and it's been a lot of fun. And of course, he has a podcast with us on MLW Radio Network. So we've collaborated business wise and creatively for, man, 15 years almost. So, yeah, he's great. And you look at his track record with creating and developing characters like The Undertaker and Kane and just a who's who. If you look at the laundry list of talent out there, WWF talent, WWE talent that's drawn money, Bruce has sprinkled some of that Brother Love dust on them, and they've become pretty big stars. So it's been great. He's been a great ad on to the team as we transition to having TV. He serves as a senior producer. He's working with me. We've been laying out the Battle Riot here in New York since Monday. And it's great to work with Bruce again. I forgot how much fun it is. And you know, for talent, I think it's a lot of talent really enjoys having that access to a mind like his, with, you know, and also teaching them how to do TV. They've done indie shots, but we're shooting and producing national TV for 55 million households. That's a totally different thing, to know where the hard camera is just when you're working a match, as well as, you know, cutting a promo. How do you start a promo and how do you end it? What's the punctuation at the end of it? What's your face doing during the promo? What's your breathing like during a promo? What is it you're selling this on during the promo? Do we love you, hate you, care for you? What is it? It's a lot for guys that have a lot of confidence but don't have that experience to kind of try to process and understand, along with doing backstage angles and stuff that are done sometimes out of order, and then we assemble them for weekly TV for MLW on BN. And you know, I think there's also talent that, you know, they've had so much success on the indies. They have also developed bad habits. And then when you tell them, listen, why don't you try it this way? Sometimes you're like, nah, I got this. And like, this is TV. It's a little different. So we, you know, it's, you don't want to disrupt their confidence, but they also have to be coachable. And that's a kind of an important thing and a criteria for us in our system is, you know, we want great talent, but we want coachable talent.
Well, you know, I'm sitting there looking at your roster. You got a bunch of really good guys there. Some guys that I'm not real familiar with, but some guys are, you know, really moving the needle. And a lot of guys that have really been around. I want to get to PCO here in a little bit. But in talking about and coaching these guys up for television, you know, that's one of the big things in WWE is, man, they're always, many times, as you know, on a finish, they're working towards that hard camera. Now, me, right, back in my heyday when I was running roughshod, we came in there, and it's kind of a different animal now, probably a little bit more technical than it was back then. But, man, as Stone Cold Steve Austin, I didn't really give a damn where that hard camera was. My train of thought was, if they got six or seven cameras, one of those guys is good enough to, you know, to get me where I need to be. So how tough are you on those guys? Because, I mean, it's pretty much a mandate in WWE. When you go for a cover, it's to that hard camera. And I just completely threw that out the window, and they weren't really harping on it back in as much either. But for me, I had enough things to worry about with my psychology, just being 120% invested in that match, being present and thinking and feeling that crowd. So could I have thought about the hard camera? Yes, I could have, but I didn't. So I guess my question to you is, how adept are these guys at picking this up and being able to present the product that you want?
Well, most of the time it works pretty good, and we really don't try to say, okay, work to the hard camera for pinfalls. It's more like the stuff that kind of we have to help them with is like what to do during your entrance so you know where the cameras are and what you're doing and where you take your moment, take your pause for that moment to do whatever the hell you're going to do on your entrance and your walkout. And then when you get in the ring, once you set in, you know, bad examples, when Sean would set in, set a ring, and he'd, you know, do the pose with the arms and flex and stuff, like, that's a cool way to distinguish yourself. What are you doing? And what, you know, do you know where to look for that? And that's important. And so those are the kind of things we try to work on, is refine those things for the guys. And also, sometimes you find it, you know, in independent wrestling, if you shoot an angle on a finish, it is what it is. But for TV, you know, if you take too long doing that swerve on a finish or whatever you're going to do, it's like death. Even if the house loves it, when you watch it back on TV, it plays sometimes a lot longer. So, you know, having a crisp finish and executing it and knowing when it's coming is important. Also, you know, you're taking cues from a referee sometimes, because it's TV. You have to sometimes pad a match with some more time, take away some time from a match because you're booking TV. And so there's all types of challenges these guys doing just an indie shot aren't going to have. Whereas here, you know, it's a little bit different. They have the referee with the IFB and telling them, you know, to go home. And they know that referee, when they say that, they're being possessed by me to tell them it's time to go home because I'm in the TV truck saying go home. But our kids are good, and it's taken some time to get them to certain points, but they're pretty good.
Hey, man, what is y'all's approach with respect to promos? Because you and I have many phone mm-hmm. conversations throughout the week or month. We talk to each other pretty often, and we're always kind of, you know, booking the territory, so to speak, like we used to ride down the road in the cars doing, right. Trying to make things better than they are. With promos, you and I, yeah, of course, you come from the school of Gary Hart, and I got a chance to work with Gary Hart way back in the day. But through, I guess, when I came back from my neck surgery, my C3-4 fusion, way back in the day, when I came back from that surgery, that's kind of when I started really getting handed a piece of paper. And that's kind of when I was still able to fool everybody, or not fool everybody, but it just wasn't organic to me. Although I was able to pull it off, I never felt the same. But so with you guys and just all these guys coming from all these different places and not under one roof all the time like WWE is, how do y'all handle that? And how creative or out there do you let the guys get, or just get their stuff in on an individual level without putting thoughts in their head and just totally discombobulating? You know what I'm saying?
Sure. What I do is I have kind of a map out of like a grid, something that WWE uses, and it's very helpful. And you map your TV week to week and sometimes pay-per-view to pay-per-view. And you kind of know where you're going 12 months from now, and you hope you stay on that road, but a lot of things come up and you have to change the plans. Someone gets injured, someone has a contract dispute, Vince changes his mind, the creative team decides to do something different, all those variables. So I use some of the same framework. I don't have a creative team. I'm the booker. I have an assistant booker. And then, you know, I'll take it to the larger team on production or whatever and the talent to kind of refine it and polish the creative, but they kind of know where I'm going. And, they make it better when you kind of loop them in, especially talent, and you engage them and say, okay, this is where I'm going. What do you want to do, Sammy Callahan? And Sammy might come up with something really amazing that smokes everything I have on paper. And that's good. We want the best product out there for the fan. For promos, you know, we look at it like I have an outline, and this is what I want to accomplish. Here's the scenario. Like right now, you know, Conan's filming something and it's, you know, he's supposed to have a confrontation with someone else backstage and that will lead to something else. I'm not telling Conan what to say, but I'm saying this is kind of the big bang for where this is going and you're the spark for it. So, you know, where it's going, come with something with the other guys and freestyle it with Bruce or Alex Greenfield or whoever. And then let's see what it looks like. And I try to give a lot of the talent their an outline of what they're doing or an idea concept as far in advance as I can. And we'll text back and forth and try to fine tune it. I really put it on the town. I want them to have ownership of where they're going. So the more this sounds like them, the more it's true to them, the more they're engaged and invested in their storylines, their feuds, their angles, the better it's going to be. And so that's what I really try to do. And we're pretty organized with that. We really don't, there's not many showtime changes unless a guy misses a flight, you know, and you're like, okay, well, we got to put someone else in this match. So time to freestyle. And what I also do for my producers, like Bruce and Alex, is, I'll allow them to do, freestyle, pre-tapes if we have the time. All right. Take some guys and be a mad scientist in the lab. do something. And half the time, if not more, we end up using that stuff. It's nothing that anyone's thought of. It's just, well, that's cool. Maybe we can do something with that. So it's a little bit kind of an open creative environment a bit. So I let the guys kind of have their fun, let the talent get their thing. But at the same time, you know, I have a pretty strong structure. And when you have those what I call them flex segments, we might get some gold out of there. We might hit oil. So I guess we're just kind of, as we go along, experimenting.
Man, when I'm looking at this roster, I see a lot of high flyers. I see some brawlers. Yeah. I see some technicians. Man, I see a bunch of lucha guys, which I love that style. Got some MMA guys. When you go to WWE, you go down there to Florida, and as Triple H says, you learn the playbook. You learn the way mm-hmm. they do things, and that plays back into the hard camera we were talking about a while ago. But with respect to, you know, learning the playbook, you brought all these guys in. I know you worked with some of them in the past on mm-hmm. a big show like this, the Battle Riot. How do you get everybody on the same page as far as, you know, technique, or this is how we do things? Or are these guys pros enough and all acclimated enough, skilled enough to be able to work and combine all these styles so that everything kind of goes like you want it and they want it to go?
Well, the beauty of the Battle Riot is, you know, it is like a hybrid of a Royal Rumble where a guy comes out every 60 seconds. The difference is we have the ability to do pinfalls, submissions, or over the top elimination. So a guy like UFC's Filthy Tom Lawler could, you know, make a guy tap out, or, you know, 469 pound Barrington Hughes could splash two guys and pin them simultaneously and do a double elimination. So there's a lot of different dynamics here. So we have a lot of different things that are going to happen in this match. You know, this is a Battle Riot where you have a referee in there to count the pinfalls or submissions. So there's a lot of variables. So it's different, and no one's done exactly this. So it's like, it's the first time out. And so that's why Bruce and I have been meticulously we didn't just start Monday, we started long ago, but really fine tuning it on Monday, to see creatively, okay, I know where I'm going, where I want to go out of this, but how do I make this, you know, interconnected moments throughout the match? You know, it's no disqualification. So, you know, Kevin Sullivan can be crazy Kevin Sullivan in that match. You know, our brawlers can be brawlers. Jimmy Havoc, the king of the death match, could be a real crazy bastard in a match. But then you also have, you know, variety. You have the luchadors who can fly and stuff. So it's just trying to showcase the talent and for the fans have as many oohs and ahs as possible. And also, you know, you have to kind of balance in a match like this. It could be a real cluster. Is to kind of always have a rhythm of veteran to a younger guy that may be less experienced with this kind of scenario where you have to hit cues for eliminations. And this is a little different than just working a one-on-one match. It's a lot different. And and you're in New York. And not to say it's a special market, but New York fans don't mess around. So you better be on your game, because they're going to eat you alive if you're not. So there's a lot of pressure on the talent. There's a lot of pressure on me. There's a lot of pressure on my team that this thing deliver. And so we're, you know, we're excited about it. We have just a few handful of tickets left. Most of our ticketeers are sold out, but you go to MLWtickets.com. This is a show worth seeing live. It's going to be not just the Battle Riot. We have a world title match. We have Pentagon and Phoenix defend the world tag titles against Triple A's Drago and Rey Horus. We are going to crown our first middleweight world champion as Joey Ryan takes on MJF and Brody King versus Jimmy Havoc. It's a packed show. Like you said, PCO, Pierre Carl Ouellette, is on the show. He's been an interesting story. When you look at his 2018, I'm a big fan of comebacks, and to see his comeback is pretty cool. As he now evolves almost into, he's doing these social media vignettes where it's almost like he's doing kind of Undertaker-esque stuff. He's kind of like Frankenstein little videos as his character develops and evolves. So it's pretty exciting.
You know, it was real exciting because, you know, obviously I remember kind of him as what, the Mountie?
The Quebecers, yeah.
Remember the Quebecers and a tag team. And the guy's big dude, real solid guy, real solid work. Man, I hadn't heard of the guy in years. And all of a sudden, right. I'm talking with Joey Janela, and he keeps saying, hey, man, PCO. I mean, he's like the hottest guy on the circuit. You know, he's 50 years old. And I'm thinking, who's PCO? And he explained it to me. Okay, I know who the guy is. I got on YouTube. I saw a couple of the Frankenstein videos. Very creative. It's really interesting to see a guy. Well, the Quebecers were an established act and a gimmick or characters, but true to their nature, they were Canadians. But so what did you think when you saw this Frankenstein creation? Because the guy that's with him, I guess they're drinking blood. The long-haired guy kind of spits it out. I mean, I'm a big fan when guys really go to a strong character-based stuff, but they have the work to back it up.
Yes.
But obviously, in looking at his picture on the internet right now, he's not doing the Frankenstein thing for you guys, is he?
Well, the thing is, right now, you know, he doesn't have the photos. And we haven't had him to our show yet, so we don't have our own photos. So we're going on the old stock photos. We're gonna be true to what he's going with this creatively. But what I told PCO is, you know, you do these great videos, but I watch your matches on the indies right now, but you're just doing the old PCO stuff in the ring. When I see you come to the building, I buy a ticket to see you. You got to show that persona, that crazy wicked shit you're doing in these vignettes at the house. You know, you got to show it, and it's got to transfer. So you're not, you know, just PCO. Like you were a great wrestler, but you got to show me some of that character and incorporate it into your match. So that's stuff that you know.
That's the fun stuff. I agree with you 100%. He's got to be that guy once he gets in the ring, because the things I've seen on YouTube are tremendous and very creative, and it's out there, and it's refreshing. So to your point, he's got to bring that gimmick, that character, and bring it to life. It's alive, like Frankenstein, and well, do that in the ring, and that's where the money's going to be.
Exactly, and even for his entrance tomorrow, I personally designed the entrance, the video, the music, and everything, and I have like the Frankenstein noises, and it's alive, all that stuff, and I just want to see, you know, I'm not saying he should stomp around like Frankenstein, but he should sprinkle some of that character into his, you know, transition segues, whatever he's doing in there, just to have something that's consistent with it, because he's a great worker. His stuff is amazing for any age, but you know, just to sprinkle a little of that in there is important. And you know, I'm sure you know he's experimenting, so he's going to probably get there. But you know, a guy like that's great because he's a veteran. He's physically so different than so many of the other guys on the independents. It makes him special. And for me, I'm a big fan of trying to promote Canadian wrestlers again. Somewhere, somehow, along the way, we got away from that when it was a huge money thing, both at the box office and TV deals, was to promote Canadian wrestling. And we have the New Era Hart Foundation with us, which is Davey Boy Smith Jr., son of Davey Boy, Teddy Hart, nephew of Owen Brett Davey Boy, and Brian Pillman the second, who I just saw a few minutes ago outside the in the lobby, and he's got it. Pillman has it. When you see him, you say, who is that guy? You just know he's a star. This guy checks off so many boxes, and he's very early on in his career. Trained a bit with Lance Storm and then had an ankle injury. So he's actually walking around with his father's cane right now, which is really cool.
My.
Dude, it is cool. He's got that like wolf cane. It is awesome. And he looked – I mean, it's – he looks just like his parents.
So, you know, just to be clear, I believe it was an MCL because I had him on the show a couple of months ago.
Okay.
And I know he'd went down and trained with Lance Storm, and you and I had talked about him in passing, but I never got a chance to see his work. And so, but you've seen him there in person, or you like what you're seeing, or when's he going to be back in action?
Well, we're hoping for October to have him in the ring. Until then, he's going to be the corner man for his fellow members of the Hart Foundation, and he'll be out there tonight doing the during the tag match with ACH and Swan against Davey Boy and Teddy. He's got good size. He's a really good promo for a guy that's never done TV, that's really never done promos. This guy is a student of the game. Like, you talk to him, he's got a real high wrestling IQ for a kid. Really impressed. Like, there's guys that you say, okay, well, there might be something there. This kid's going to be something special if he puts in the work and gets that in-ring experience, which is just a matter of being healthy. I think he's going to be fine. I think
and I have talked many, many times before court. You don't pass the it or X factor tag on to hardly anybody. You really think this kid's special?
What I saw today is like, I've been talking to him and I've been watching his stuff, but there's not a lot of stuff. But when I saw him in the lobby, I went, this is going to work out pretty good for us. And, you know, when we brought back the Heart Foundation, it was like a new era thing. And, you know, it's an interesting play because of their backgrounds. But you had Brian in there with that new blood. It's really interesting. And just then seeing him when the camera rolls, some guys freeze up. They don't know what to say. They get discombobulated. Their words are all out of order. They don't know what to say. They get pale. He has confidence. And if he can keep that confidence and keep refining his skills, look out. Wrestling fans, this guy is going to be someone you're going to like to watch in 2018 and beyond.
I got my fingers crossed for this guy because I was close with his father. And, you know, he looks pretty much like him, same physique.
Yeah.
He probably could hold even a little bit more muscle than Brian. But, I wish him all the luck. I'm excited to see him. Quick question before we go into a break. As you do this television taping, obviously it's going to be live right there in the building. Are y'all going live, or is it going to be live to tape?
Live to tape. It'll be our first network special on BN Sports next Friday, which I believe is July 27th. And that will be on BN Sports Friday night, 8 to 10 o'clock. And BN Sports airs our weekly show nationally in about 55 million households. So they're the fastest growing sports network in the world. And I'm looking at our promotion, which we only announced 12 months ago, almost to the day. I was like, we've checked off a lot of boxes for the first 12 months. We might be the fastest growing wrestling league in America.
Man, that's awesome to hear. Are you excited about the way things are going so far?
Yes. And I have more confidence in that. You know, as a promoter, you're always worried about something. You're going to go to bed with getting crazy call, wake up, putting out fires. But I have such a great team with so much experience, and it really makes a difference when you can surround yourself with a great team, whether it's a sports franchise or wrestling or whatever. When you have a good program, and I'm not talking TV, but just a system where you know you have a good crew that's going to go out there and execute the game plan, it makes it so much easier, and your odds for success are so much higher. And there's something to be said about chemistry in the locker room and behind the scenes. And so far, it feels like we got a good amount of chemistry.
Before we take a quick break, Court, tell people about the show one more time, where they can catch it live, where they can catch it next week.
All right. It's in Queens, New York, at Melrose Ballroom tonight. Doors open at 6 o'clock. You can get tickets in advance at mlwtickets.com. A few tickets are left. There's going to be a meet and greet with some of the wrestlers, and it's a who's who. You have guys from all over the world in the show tonight, and I guarantee it's going to be a great time. This isn't independent wrestling. This is a major league production. You get the lights, the cameras, the whole big experience. So if you want to go out and have a good Thursday night, tickets start at just $20, and you're going to see a loaded card for just $20.
All right, let's take a quick pause for the calls and give big ups to True Car. These days, news travels lightning fast, which is great if you're a sports fan. Between status updates and breaking news notifications, you can always be up to the minute on every team and every game. While this is great for sports, it's the exact opposite when it comes to buying a car. Go online and you are bombarded with numbers like invoice, list price, dealer price. It's hard to know how to recognize a good price. Not anymore. Introducing True Price from True Car. It's the only price you need to know because it's exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories. How do you know if your True Price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car you want, so you know how to recognize a good price. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their True Price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. You're also going to need car insurance for that new vehicle. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. That's right. Save hundreds of dollars on car insurance at GEICO.com. Extra money in your pocket? It may just be the most rewarding thing you do today. Hey, podcast fans, do not miss John Taffer, No Excuses, right here from your friends at Podcast One. Shut it down and listen to John, the award-winning hospitality legend from Bar Rescue, as he brings his straight talk and unapologetic approach to daily topics and current events. You don't want to miss his latest interviews with Adam Carolla and fantasy sports expert RJ Bell. Subscribe and download John Taffer, No Excuses, every Tuesday exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. Also, remember to rate and review, because we always appreciate your feedback. Hey man, are you hiring? Are you out there posting your position to job sites and waiting for the right people to see it? Well, ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. Hell, my producer Sean, his buddy just opened up a restaurant, and he fully staffed his restaurant in just a few weeks. To boot, almost 80% of those candidates were in his account in just one day. And guess what? Sean's buddy's restaurant is getting rave reviews for service. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Right now, listeners of the Steve Austin Show can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's nearly $250 worth of services, and you can try it for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Steve. If you're out there on social media and you're using ZipRecruiter, tag me in a post and let me know. We'll get you a shout-out on the podcast. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Steve to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
This is the Steve Austin Show.
All right, I'm back with Court Bar of MLW. Battle Ride is what we're talking about. It's tonight at Queens, New York at the Melrose Ballroom. Court, this is an awesome roster you have assembled here for the 40-man Battle Ride. Also, the matches I want to get into here in a minute. But you know, as I was saying a while back, I was talking to Joey Janela the other day, and he, you know, dropped a couple of names on me. PCO, we've already talked about that. But there's another guy who I saw work with PCO at Joey Janela's show, Spring Break, at WrestleMania 34. I think that event happened about 12 midnight and ran till about 4 in the morning. But there was a lot of buzz over one particular match. Many considered one of the best matches of the weekend, if not the best, according to what I heard. And it was PCO versus a guy named Walter. And have you seen or heard of Walter? Because Joey Janela talked to me about him. Two or three other independent guys told me about this guy named Walter. I got a chance to get on YouTube and watch his match with Zack Sabre Jr., and it was just a lights-out match. This is a big kid from Germany. He's 30 years old. I guess he's probably been in the business 10 years now, give or take. I'd never heard of him, but all of a sudden I watch this guy, and he's just kind of like plain Jane, a throwback, a big kid. I mean, he, good movement, really technical. I was very impressed with him. We want to talk about your show, but you're a pretty good scout for talent. Why has nobody picked this guy up yet?
Well, he is very involved with the company out in Germany. I don't know if he has a stake in the company, but I've heard rumors like that, so that might be one of his reasons. He's got a commitment to the promotion, but I first heard about him around maybe 2010, something like that. And I think he was going by the name something like Big Van Walter or something like that at the time. And, you know, he was a big dude. He really, athletically, mechanically, he was there, size-wise there. He still looks the same today. But he didn't have at that point what I would consider killer instinct. And that's for a big dude, like, I'm a firm believer in killer instinct. That's why I like guys that can – I like the guys who are baby faces, white meat baby faces, but I like guys with killer instinct. And Walter has killer instinct, and he's developed it. And he reminds me kind of a lot of ways of Samoa Joe. Like, I remember Joe at a certain point in his career. He's just very reminiscent of a bigger Samoa Joe. And I'd love to see those two crack some thunder at some point. But I think a guy like that, it's inevitable that WWE would sign him. He's like a throwback, a guy I'd see if you went to the Garden in the 70s against Bruno, you know, as a guy you could build up or something like that. He's a big, imposing menace, especially when you look at some of the guys in independent wrestling today are much smaller. So he towers over them. But he also is the rare guy that has a hell of a freaking entrance. When you watch that entrance, it's like he really sets the tone for the match, and there's a lot of pageantry, and you get a sense this is a special attraction. And there's a lot of people in independent wrestling that can take a note from that and apply it to what they're doing. He's got it.
Man, I want to talk to you about one of the I think he's one of the biggest stars on the card. And he's not even wrestling in the squared circle. He's managing. His name is Colonel Parker. Robert Fuller, my manager when I was stunning Steve Austin in World Championship Wrestling. And I'd known Roberts ever since he was coming down to World Class Championship Wrestling. And I was just now going through wrestling school, turned into the USWA, and He's just this big, lanky cowboy guy, just a good-looking kid when he was younger, still a good-looking guy, and just raw bone talent. And Robert could work his ass off, but not only could he work his ass off, he could talk his ass off. And you and I have talked over the phone about some of the stories of you just hanging around him, how charismatic he is. How has he been with respect to helping some of those younger guys find their voice or find a direction and run with it? Because Robert just was a natural. He had a real gift for the gab, and he was just extremely charismatic.
Well, he sits in on – I like to have him sit in on the heel promos and kind of coach him up and also explain – give him notes, not like, you know, browbeating, nothing like that. But we want, you know, kind of just, okay, have you thought about like this? What about this? For heels, we want our heels to really understand the psychology of a heel. If you lose a match last week, well, you didn't lose that match. The ref was crooked. It was a fast count. What are you talking about? That kind of stuff. When you're a heel, the world is full of endless possibilities to excuse any of your conduct, your actions, your success, your failures. And so he's trying to really help the talent understand how much you can do as a heel. It's not just pulling the trunks or telling the audience to go to hell. It's you can really have fun. And that time in front of the camera when you're doing promos is your ability to really get that heat. And so the concept of heat is something he also works with our talent on. And he's right now, he has his own stud stable in MLW with Jake Hager, the former Jack Swagger, and the Dirty Blondes, and Mike Perot. So it's been great because he's working with some of those young kids. He's working against Tom Lawler and Team Filthy from the MMA world. And it's been a lot of fun. And Tom Lawler, a great, great talent that I can't. If you want to check out a guy that's really just blown up in the last year, when I see where he started with us last October, it's Tom Lawler. He's really got it. He was one of the first guys we signed. Because to me, I could build so much around a Tom Lawler, and he was made for TV. He can be a heel. He can be a pretty good sarcastic baby face. He's like the cool heel, which is hard to do. And you just push him a little bit, they're a huge baby face.
You know, I've heard you sing that guy's praises before, Filthy Tom Lawler. But yeah, I've also known that you're really high on Matt Riddle. Are you guys still in a working relationship? Because I haven't seen him on this card.
No, we love Matt, and Matt loves us, but at the time he's has a contract that does not allow him to do TV, and he has to honor that, and we have to honor that as well. So for the moment, unfortunately, Matt is unable to participate, but we are huge fans of Matt, and I'd love to see Matt in WWE. I'd love to see Matt in New Japan. He has it. I loved working with him. I know Bruce loved working with him. Bruce really got him pretty far doing promos to a place that I didn't expect. He really just took him to the next level. And that's the great thing about Bruce. If you're willing to allow yourself in, he'll give you some incredible opportunities to up your game. And I thought Matt did that with him.
There's no doubt about that. Bruce is phenomenal at that. Going back real quick, a question about Colonel Robert Parker and his relationship with Jake Hager, who was formerly Jack Swagger in the WWE. Now, when he was with WWE, he was with the one and only Dutch Mantel, who mentored me riding up and down the roads in Tennessee. I mean, Dutch has a gift for gab as well, and it's just like Robert. It's just hard-earned knowledge and years and decades in the business. So Jake leaves Dutch, and now he is with Robert. There's so many similarities with that Tennessee mentality and a Tennessee psychology. Has he been able to get in his head and help him any?
Yeah, you know, I think they're finding a groove. We did a shoot actually in an MMA gym last Wednesday in Orlando, and so we spent a lot of time down there. And Colonel, if you want to sit under the learning tree, he's happy to teach and also tell incredible stories. And so I think it's been a nice marriage in terms of a traditional manager with a big 6'7" bruiser. And people ask me, what is Major League Wrestling? What makes it different from WWE and all the competition out there? And I said, it's kind of like, it's as close to a throwback territory as you can get. It's like territory. It's a territory promotion for millennials is probably the best way to put it. We have Tony Schiavone doing our play-by-play, and you have this small, intimate atmosphere, almost feels like TV studio wrestling. Then you have traditional managers. We have now Conan. You have guys like Kevin Sullivan, but not, you know, they're used in the right way. They can talk and really hype things up, but also be great for pre-tapes. You have Colonel Parker, Selena De La Renta, who's a young and up-and-coming girl. So we have a lot of interesting qualities that you haven't seen in wrestling in the modern presentation in a long time.
And I miss that, and I'm glad you have these guys around, because, you know, and some of the other companies, you just don't see that anymore. And to me, they were the salt and pepper on a great steak, such colorful, flamboyant personalities, and either they're that mouthpiece or they're that dressing or whatever it needs to be to enhance that talent further, or be the crutch, or just be in addition to, and just make that person a superstar. So it's refreshing for me to see that, because the way I grew up watching wrestling when I was 7 or 8 years old and going through the territories and having my share of managers, and whether I liked them or not, or wanted them with me, I wanted to be a solo act, but nonetheless, I learned a lot from them, and they're just, to me, they're part of the landscape that is pro wrestling.
Yeah, and they're there to augment, to enhance, to give you outs on finishes. But when you're a baby face and you're just getting fed heel after heel, it gets to be very one-dimensional in terms of programming your champion, your baby faces. But the other thing is, for TV, it gets redundant. But when you're fighting a cause, whether it's Bobby the Brain Heenan, Jim Cornette, Paul Heyman, or the Dangerous Alliance, Colonel Parker and the Stud Stable, you can go through a lot of guys, but you're still fighting Colonel Parker, Bobby Heenan, and all of their guys. You're fighting a cause. And Gary Hart, you go on forever. The Von Erickson, Gary Hart. I mean, it went on forever. So that's something that I really believe in. It's not like, hey, we're just going to do throwback and it's going to feel like it's 1978. No. But we're going to take those elements and the DNA that worked back then and apply it to a modern product.
Absolutely. I'm sitting there looking at the World Heavyweight title fight between Ray Phoenix and Pentagon Jr. versus Drago and Ray Horace. Man, there's lots of color going on there with all those costumes and luchador outfits. And you just mentioned the young lady's name, who's the manager of Phoenix and Pentagon Jr. What's her name?
Selena De La Renta.
Okay, now, has she been around a while?
She's been in the business about 2 years. She's about 21 years old.
Okay, now, is she speaking for these guys? Because I was fortunate enough to meet Phoenix and Pentagon Jr. at WrestleCon at WrestleMania 34, and I'm huge fans of these guys, so it was a pleasure to get for them to take their mask off, and I was just sitting there chatting with them, you know, in American. So is she speaking for them? How have you constructed, or how have they decided, or you guys decided to present them or do their promos?
Well, for Selena, it's, you know, creatively, she's kind of like, the influence for the character came from Don King and also Conan, who is still to this day a power broker in Latin America, Mexico, a pipeline to the States. And so we kind of make her, some of our managers are called promoters. And so she's a promoter. She has her own thing called Promociones Dorado. And believe it or not, people actually send in resumes to try to be represented by her. It's a shoot. And so she's a pretty good talker, and she's also brought in other luchadors, and she will continue to. And so she's also with she manages Low Ki, who's the World Heavyweight Champion. And so right now, you know, guys like Shane Strickland are fighting a cause. They're fighting Promociones Dorado and all these guys, and she's behind it all. So that's kind of in essence what we have there. And Pentagon. He speaks English, so is Ray Phoenix, and at a certain point, you'll get to hear from them.
Now, I'm looking at the website, and it says World Heavyweight title. That's World Tag Team title, right?
Yes, the tag team titles, they're defending the tag team titles, and the Low Ki has the World Heavyweight title.
Tell me about Drago and Ray Horace.
Drago's from AAA. He's been around for some time now. He has that really cool mask he wears. And Ray Horace is the cousin of Rey Mysterio and mentored by Rey Mysterio Jr. And is from Tijuana, has worked all over Mexico and into the U.S., and is a phenomenal high flyer. And, you know, when you're mentored by Rey Mysterio Jr., you're probably – and you got some of that Mysterio blood in you, you're probably going to do pretty good in the wrestling thing. So he's a late add-on to this show, but I came highly recommended. I've watched a lot of his stuff. And, you know, Conan's like the godfather of Lucha. When he gives the guy an endorsement, it's pretty much airtight. The guy's going to be pretty much fire out there.
Man, I want to talk about the World Heavyweight title fight. John Hennigan versus Low-Key. Man, I have not got a chance to see a whole lot of Low-Key's work. Obviously, if he's in this match, you have full confidence in him. I've seen what John Hennigan can bring over and over again from his work in WWE to Lucha Underground and now with you. So, obviously, you like Hennigan a lot. Tell me about Low-Key.
Sure. Well, you know, it's great working again with John. John Hennigan, I've worked with him at WWE when he was John Morrison, worked with him at Lucha Underground when he was Johnny Mundo. And so I don't know if we have to come up with a new name for him in Major League Wrestling, but someone recommended Juan Mejor or Johnny Fusion. But right now he's just John Hennigan. I just keep it straight. But Low-Key is – I've known Low-Key for almost 20 years. In fact, the original MLW, he was a pretty big attraction for us and was part of a stable that had Gary Hart managing him. In fact, our last TV show before we went off the air, Low-Key and Gary Hart and Homicide are in Westchester, New York, hunting me down, looking to pay me a visit as a promoter to intimidate me or do whatever the hell they were up to. So Low-Key and I have gotten back for many years. We've been friends for a long time, even if we weren't working together. I really respect his work. He's a no-nonsense worker in the ring and as a professional outside the ring. You know, he's real straightforward. He's phenomenal. I've always gotten along great with him, and he looks at the business like a fight, and so he approaches his matches like they're fights. His work is very deliberate. When we talk about Killer Instinct, Low-Key's one of the few guys that can get heel heat in 2018, real heel heat.
Wow.
Sami Callihan's another. A lot of guys don't want it because they want to sell merch, or they just, you know, they don't know what they're scared of it. Low-Key's fearless with it, and he can conjure it up just about anytime, anywhere, and he lays his shit in. And that's important. When you're a heel, there's a certain level of physicality for a certain type of heel that you have to get heat, and he knows that. And so for me to have someone that experience who's won, you know, 30 titles around the world and has wrestled in Japan a lot in Impact, just here, there, and everywhere, it's nice to have that kind of experience. And so he's also moonlighted as an agent for us as well for some time now. So he's a player/coach for us.
Man, when you put this in together, I see Shane Strickland as more of a technician and Sami Callihan is pretty much a pure brawler. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts on putting this thing together? Because that's going to be an interesting match.
Yeah, you know, they have a lot of history together, and they've had some great matches in the past elsewhere. And it's kind of a student versus teacher story there, because Sami really did mentor Shane, and then they kind of went their own way. And so it's one of those things where it's realities, or wrestling's a reflection of reality when it's at its best, and it's a bit of that in this story. And if you watch MLW Fusion tomorrow night at 8:00 on BN Sports, you'll see how this whole thing kind of goes to the next level. It's pretty interesting. But Sami and Shane should have a phenomenal match, because Shane's a hell of a brawler too. He's had a few bounty matches in MLW, which is a throwback. You don't see bounty matches much anymore. And he's had some no DQ matches, and he can brawl. He can absolutely brawl, but he actually also is kind of like, I always tell him, he kind of reminds me of like a young Barry Windham. You know, very nimble, very quick for a guy like his size. And he's a pretty interesting guy. So I think it's going to be a fun match. The thing that our locker room really prides themselves on is just over-delivering for the crowd and never phoning it in. And, you know, you get guys like John Morrison, John Hennigan, you know, they've been everywhere. But he dials it up. He wrestled Teddy Hart last week. That was probably, some people would say, the best match on the show. When you look at our roster, that says a lot. So these guys have a lot of pride. You know, I really believe in work ethics. That's one thing that Jim Ross always instilled in me. And when you look at how he assembled the mid-90s WWF roster, there was pride in the work, and that meant a lot, and it made the product better, and it's part of the culture, but it starts at the top. The expectation from the top is you better bring it. You better bring it.
Man, look at this World Middleweight Championship match. How far out will you let Joey Ryan go against MJF? Let me make sure that was a correct phrase, because he can do, you know, let's call it gaga with the best of them. But you're a little bit more wrestling-oriented as far as just that entertainment factor. How far will you let Joey go? Because he's kind of a polarizing figure.
Right.
He's bar wrestling here in Los Angeles. Janela worked a shot for him the other day. I hear about this guy all the time. See him all the time. time on social media. Some people love him, some people hate him, depending on who you're talking to, but the kid's a performer.
Yeah, here's the bottom line. The guy draws. The guy sells tickets. Whenever I've promoted him on a show, I'll tell you this, within minutes of announcing it on MLW.com, we sell a lot of tickets. And as a promoter, that's the bottom line.
You ain't kidding, brother.
That's it, man. If you're that dude sells tickets, and he's good. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of guys that get over that become pain in the asses. Joey is as easy as it comes. You can't get easier than Joey. Joey Ryan is a real, real pleasure to work with. In fact, he's doing pre-tapes right now. He's really good. And so I want guys that are over, know how to get over. Because if you get over one place, typically you might be able to get over another place. And wherever I've taken him, he sold tickets from New York, down in Florida. I guarantee you wherever I go next, he's going to sell tickets. So I welcome those kind of guys. As far a guy like Joey, what you do depends on the scenario and if you're doing TV and also what's your crowd like. But a guy like Joey also has like the rated R version, the PG-13 version, the PG version, the G version of what his act is.
Perfect.
A real pro does that.
Yeah.
And so that's the roundabout answer to it.
Hey man, before we sign off, I want to get your when you decided to put this thing together, this battle ride. How did this come to you? I got to do this thing, and it's going to be 40 guys, and we're going to battle ride.
Well,
talk about what the winner gets. Go ahead.
Sure. So in 2004, this was the original idea. I was going to do an MLW, and then we didn't do it. I pitched it to WWE when I was there, and, well, they had the Royal Rumble. I get it. So it didn't happen there. Then a few months ago, I knew we were coming to New York. I'm like, well, there's three things you can do. You can either book someone that is a huge star and just hope that people buy tickets and that guy delivers doing media and you have a great match and all that. You also can do a special attraction. You can do some celebrity stunt thing. You have a few, when you're a promoter, you have a few cards up your sleeve. You can put on just a great match. I went with spectacle. I believe that once in a while, a spectacle can get buzz. You can't do it every show. But when you do the spectacle at the right moment, the right time, there's nothing bigger. And for us, by design, when you do 40-man Battle Riot, you now have 40 different wrestlers promoting, pushing, and talking up this one match. And they're also in other matches because really, Battle Riot, you're not going to have 40 guys in there for the length of the match. So it allowed me to spread it around, have a ton of talent that's over with a huge following in some cases, promote. And for me, for TV, I knew I was probably going to – I was talking about doing a network special. We have a great partner. They wanted something big. And so with their support, we made this happen. And so for us to do a two-hour special, this doesn't make sense unless we have BN involved. So that was kind of the backstory on this 40-wrestler Battle Riot. And now, it's a very big – I'm not going to lie. It is a very big undertaking. But, again, with the support team I have, I'm sleeping a little bit better at night, but I'm probably not going to sleep that much going into this one tonight in Queens, New York. The winner gets a title shot anytime, anywhere. So once they win, it's on. So it's kind of a mashup of a few different concepts that have been done in the past with some new stuff sprinkled in. And it's going to be interesting because you have so many different ways to eliminate guys. Over the top rope, submission, pinfall. You could have, for example, Tom Lawler and his Team Filthy teammates lock on a few submissions and tap out a big dude. You can have a pile on submission. There's a lot of cool ways and crazy scenarios that play into this. You have a match where you have 469 pounds Barrington Hughes, a super heavyweight, but also you have Hornswoggle in the match. and there's going to be surprises, and there's going to be legends, and the best thing is Tony Schiavone is going to be calling it all. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So you got to do something special when you come to New York, and we want to make a big splash and be memorable. And I think if I had probably promoted anything else, I don't know if we would have talked about on this podcast, because this is different. It is a spectacle, and I guess that's by design what I wanted for this. So hopefully mission accomplished. I mean, ticket sales are – we sold out, and then we opened up more seats because we had production kills. And production kills are when you look at the bill in the final run-through, you know where the cameras are, and you know where the entrances are and stuff like that. And you say, okay, we might be able to add a section here, or add maybe four seats there. And so we got the okay to do that, and so we were able to make a few tickets available. So if you look at mlwtickets.com now, they may still be available, but no guarantees. So check it out, mlwtickets.com.
It sounds like a super spectacle with a lot of hungry guys out there giving it their all and, you know, trying to put on a good show for everybody and, you know, get that world title shot down the line sometime. So I'm looking forward to watching this event. Not all these guys are indie wrestlers. Some of them are. And so just in my conversations, like with the Gregory Irons, with the Joey Janellas, you know, I've always been a federation guy. I've always been in a minor or major wrestling company. So I'm not real knowledgeable about the indie scene, but after talking to some of these guys, I've really kind of focused a lot of my time and effort into watching more of their stuff on YouTube. And don't get me wrong, hey man, you know, WWE, that's big time, and that's, you know, more power to them, and that's where I come from, and I paid my dues in smaller federations. So it's really refreshing to see a lot of these guys out there, these different, a lot of diverse wrestling backgrounds and stuff like that. So I'm excited. I got a chance to watch a lot of these guys on YouTube and research them and see what they're bringing to the table. So I'm looking forward to watching the event. Just, you know, it's something different. I think you hit it right on the head. I think you've got a great talent on the roster, some great individual and tag team matchups, and you've got a lot of guys there that can work their ass off, and I'm looking forward to it. So tell me one more time, Court. I'm over here in West Coast, California. When can I watch it, and where's it going to be at? And plug the show live for the people local here tonight.
You'll be able to watch it July 27th, next Friday.
Copy.
On BN Sports, 8 to 10 p.m., BEIN Sports. It's available coast to coast, nationwide, also in Canada and Puerto Rico. And we'll also put every episode. You can binge on MLW Fusion, catch up on the whole show, all 14 episodes now, for free on our YouTube channel. Commercials are edited out. The show airs uncut, unedited otherwise. MLW is on YouTube at youtube.com/Major League Wrestling. Binge on all of our shows. And then every Saturday at 6.05 p.m., a new show pops up. So when the Battle Riot, if you don't get BN and you want to watch the Battle Riot, fire up our YouTube channel, subscribe to it for free, and you get to watch the whole thing for free. So that will be available within 24 hours of airing on BN Sports. So if you're live, if you want to go to into New York and have a hell of a night, go to Queens, New York, the Melrose Ballroom tonight. You'll see 10 big matches plus the main event, 40 wrestlers, one match, one man walks away with the title shot anytime, anywhere. First time ever, Battle Riot. Go to MLWtickets.com. There might be a few tickets left. Go there right now to check MLWtickets.com. There will be some tickets at the door possibly, so make sure to go there early. Doors open at 6 p.m., 5:30 for VIP ticket holders. And I hope to see you guys tonight at the Melrose Ballroom.
Hey, man, before we sign off, please tell Pritchard and Kevin Sullivan I said hello. I know there's probably a crew of guys that I know as well, but I haven't heard their names. Tell those two cats I said hello. It's been a long time since I talked to either one of them. I wish all of you guys, you know, in management and all you guys that are the agents and all the guys that are going to be in the ring and the gals or whatever, I wish them all the best of luck. Hope you guys put on a kick-ass show, and hopefully it's an extravaganza and a big success for all of you.
Thanks, dude.
From kickoff to the classroom and beyond, the Big 12 Podcast gives you an inside scoop on the latest and greatest happenings in the Big 12 Conference. Join Chuck Cooperstein each week as they check in with the Big 12 Commissioner, Bob Bowlsby, and other guests to go over the best highlights and look ahead to the biggest events in the conference. The Big 12 is your conference, and this is your podcast. Listen free to the Big 12 Podcast exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
All right, everybody, give me the go home cue. It's time to wrap up this podcast and ride off in the sunset. Before I do that, I want to thank my guest, Court Byer from MLW, for coming on the show. Check out Battle Riot. If you ain't there in Queens, New York City tonight, or whenever you listen to the podcast, check it out next week. It's going to be a damn good show, and I'm looking forward to watching it myself. Hey, man, people ask me, where can I get your Broken Skull Ranch shirts? You can get them at prowrestlingtees.com/Steve Austin. And that's the bottom line. If you were thirsty, which I am right now, if you want a damn good IPA, I have one for you. It's called Broken Skull IPA from El Segundo Brewing Company right here in Los Angeles, California. All over Southern California at Whole Foods and Total Wines. If you don't live here, check insidetheseller.com. Hopefully, they got some in stock and see if they ship to your state. And if you're looking to get a badass pocket knife to open up your bills, your fan mail, or to save your life, check out the Cold Steel Broken Skull Knife or the Cold Steel Working Man's Knife. You can get both of them at my new Amazon store. Amazon has the best price on both knives. Just go to amazon.com/shop/Steve Austin or go to the Cold Steel Knives website and check out all their badass knives. I want to say one more thank you to all the fine sponsors of the Steve Austin Show, especially TheraWorks, Quip Toothbrushes, TrueCar, Geico, and ZipRecruiter. That's how I'm able to do this podcast for you twice a week for free. Please support them because they support us. And you can find all my sponsors at podcastone.com under the Killer Deals button at the top of the page. Folks, until next time, my name is Steve Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road.
This has been a Podcast One production. Download new episodes of The Steve Austin Show every Tuesday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.